Good evening again. Tonight we're looking at Biblical Diet Part 3. So this is the last of the series I'm doing on diet, and I'd just like to thank the Lord for Brother David Cloud, because this is from his research. And actually I got an email today. You can get the book that he's written about diet free online as an e-book. I think if you want a hard copy, it's only like $9 or $8 or something US. Anyway, praise the Lord for him. Anyway, tonight's opening scripture will be 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. If you'd like to turn there with me, please. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 4 says, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." Amen. Let's pray and give thanks to the Lord for the opening of the service. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Coastline Baptist Church, Lord, and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you've given your word to us, that we can have it in our hands and read it, Lord. And Lord, you're not the author of confusion. It's a very simple thing to read, and even young children can read and understand, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. Pray now, help me as I present this message. I pray, Lord, that the people would have come with ears to hear and hearts to receive your word, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, each one of us has different needs. I pray, Lord, you would meet those needs tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Christians, we need to thank God for the simple things in life. Amen. I thank the Lord for the wonderful food that he created for us to eat, for our taste buds that make food taste so good, and our noses that let us smell the wonderful aromas as the food's cooking, and our eyesight so we can enjoy how good it looks. And I thank the Lord that I can eat whatever I want. As the scripture just said, every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Amen. So as we found out in our last two messages on diet, and if you didn't get to hear them, they're online if you were interested in having a listen. Last two messages on diet: there's no biblical restriction against dairy products or eggs or any type of meat. We saw that Abraham and Sarah fed God with a meal of fresh, half-cooked bread, tender calf, butter and milk. Now this passage amazed me when I was preparing for these messages. I don't know how many times I've read that particular passage, but I never realised that it was God that Abraham and Sarah were feeding. I thought it was just a couple of or three angels. Anyway, let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. Let's have a read of it. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 1. So Genesis chapter 18 and verse 1 starts off, says, "And the Lord," now the word there, Lord, is in capitals, which represents that is God. "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, My Lord, if now I have found favour in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, "Make quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran to the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So there you have it. God ate bread, butter, veal, and drank milk. Dairy products, meat, and bread. Amen? The Bible does not say that the animal kingdom is permeated with disease, so that animal products are inherently tainted. If we want to eat pork, then we can. If we want to be a vegetarian, then we can be a vegetarian. Amen, brother? So this is a personal matter, and it cannot be made into a biblical issue or a law for others. And we saw that Christians are not to judge in matters of food. And this is an area of Christian liberty. The Bible forbids dietary laws in the Christian life. So diet is a matter of personal taste and health, not a matter of spiritual law. We also saw that exercise is beneficial to our bodies. Not that I was very excited about that, but God tells us everything we need to know in His Word. Amen. So if you'd like to quickly turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8 says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Now, I remember speaking to Huey about this passage once, or maybe a few years ago now, saying that God said that exercise profiteth little, so there's no point exercising. And Huey pointed out to me, no, exercise profiteth a little. In other words, you'll get profit from exercise. I'm like, really? Oh. But there we go. So it's profitable for us to exercise. The pursuit of physical health and bodily exercise is so popular today, though, that is at a near fanatical level, and this is the evidence of the idolatry of this end-time society. It is a reflection of the self-worship that is described in Paul's prophecy of the latter days. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. It is also a reflection of the temporal-mindedness of this generation. Man's thoughts and affections are devoted to this present life. Now in His mercy, God has given the body great healing properties. And these properties continue to be effectual even after the fall. You don't have to turn even in Psalm chapter 103, verse 3 says, "He healeth all thy diseases." For one thing, this means that throughout our earthly lives, a healing process goes on. As we all know, the body has a powerful immune system that fights off disease. Good bacteria on the skin and in the body war against bad bacteria. White blood cells are perpetually on guard against infection, and platelets leap into action when the skin is punctured to signal the cascade of events that produce blood clots. God has given our bodies incredible powers of healing and repair. Studies on the body's inbuilt immune system have so far confirmed that the body is able to treat coughs, anxiety, blood pressure, depression, asthma, colds, arthritis, ulcers, high cholesterol, and even warts. But modern medicine isn't infallible by any means, and blind trust in medical doctors is not wise. God has opened the floodgates of knowledge in these last times in a fulfillment of prophecy. We find that in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 says, "Knowledge shall be increased." Modern medicine is part of the explosion of knowledge that has happened in the last 150 years. God has given men wisdom about the human body and healing. Doctors have discovered that microscopic germs cause disease. Modern microscopes allow doctors to examine germs that cannot be seen with the naked eye and to explore the living cell. Doctors invented immunizations to prevent many deadly and crippling diseases, including the likes of rabies, smallpox, cholera, and polio. They discovered that wounds heal better if they're kept clean. They discovered anesthesia so that patients can be put to sleep and not feel the pain of surgery. Amen, brother, because you'll probably be having surgery soon. Doctors invented the X-ray and the CAT scans so they could see things inside of the body. Doctors have discovered antibiotics such as penicillin, which have saved countless people from dying from infection. They invented amazing surgical techniques. We have open heart surgery and heart transplants. They've even invented hip replacements and knee replacements. These modern medical practices have been an untold blessing to people all over the world, and they are God's gracious gift to unworthy people. Amen. Dieting is a multi-billion dollar industry, and dietary fads are extremely popular. dietitians today spruik their super diets and secret formulas, and they can talk it up even louder via the internet. This multi-billion dollar industry preys particularly on the elderly, the sick and the desperate, the vain and above all, the gullible. God's people would do well to heed to the warning of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15 says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." When you hear that something is a miraculous breakthrough, groundbreaking, revolutionary, absolutely fantastic, unprecedented, or some such claim, we better run the other way. There are many bogus claims made by dietitians and alternative health professionals or specialists. One such claim is that most people have a vitamin and mineral deficiency because of nutritionally depleted soil and the overprocessing of food, toxins in the food supply, or other such things. This sets the stage for the dietitian to promote his or her special diet and secret formulas and super supplements that correct the alleged problem. Many so-called experts exalt natural over synthetic, warning about the toxicity of the non-natural. They would have us believe the food chain is toxic because man has tampered with it, from the use of pesticides and synthetic fertilizers through to modern processing and preservative techniques. A typical statement from these experts would go something like this: "Our food is getting less and less nutritious. Fields are depleted by overuse. Pesticides limit the action of beneficial microbes in the soil that helps plants draw in nutrients. Fertilizers focus on certain key chemicals and don't take into account all the trace minerals, organic components or beneficial microbes that go into good nutrition. And genetically modified foods have made their way into our food supply when we don't know how that may affect us in the long term. On top of these problems, we refine and process our food so it lasts longer, is more convenient, tastes better and is even made more addictive. We strip out and destroy vital nutrients as we process them. Much of the food we find in grocery stores outside the produce section barely resembles what humanity has been eating for thousands of years. There's no wonder we have so many autoimmune disorders, food allergies and growing epidemics of obesity." Well, these so-called experts paint a very dire picture, amen? But, there's always a but, Brother Huey. But there are many important truths that are typically ignored in this type of discussion. They're ignored, but we need the discussion so that we are necessary to gain a well-rounded and understanding of the situation. The world itself is toxic because of man's fall. Amen? Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 says, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." I don't know if you've noticed, but man no longer lives in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were booted out of the garden into a fallen world tainted with thorns, pests, poisons and disease. Today, the most powerful toxins can be labelled all natural. The vitamin and supplement industry successfully created a false separation. On one side are natural products, vitamins, minerals, dietary supplements, plants and herbs. And they say because they're natural, they're safe. On the other side are drugs. Because drugs are man-made, they are supposedly more dangerous or bad. However, many drugs are derived from nature, including antibiotics. Also, the notion that natural products aren't dangerous is fake news. Just because something is unnatural does not mean that it is bad. Take arsenic, taipan poison, nuclear radiation, earthquakes, the Ebola virus. They're all found in nature, so they're natural. Whereas vaccines, spectacles, maybe artificial hip, they're all man-made. God has given man permission to tamper with nature and the wisdom to do so. Man was even instructed by God to exercise dominion over the earth. We're still in Genesis. Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Man's God-given dominion gives him the authority to use the earth's resources to explore, to invent, and to improve. Adam's earliest offspring practiced farming and animal husbandry and metalworking. All of these things require interfering with and improving upon nature. Metalworking, for example, requires digging big holes in the earth and working with toxic substances for refining and smelting to create alloys. But that doesn't make them inherently bad. It is God's express will that man do this type of thing in all fields, and that includes medicine. He can investigate his own physical makeup and invent medical techniques for healing and use the earth's vast resources for this endeavour. Obviously, not everything man has done has been right or healthy because he is a fallen sinner. But the principle of creating synthetics is not unscriptural or inherently wrong. While they denounce the healthiness of the modern Western food chain and play up the danger of synthetics and toxins, these experts ignore the fact that modern food and modern medicine have improved man's quality of life in dramatic ways. They denounce the sickness of modern society and blame the toxicity of the food supply. But there has never been a perfectly healthy generation since Adam. Where is that generation that was not plagued with sickness and disease and death? The truth is, there never has been one. The sickness and disease might be different from generation to generation and place to place, and some civilizations may have been more healthy than others, but no diet in history has solved this problem. All weakness and sickness and trouble in this life ultimately stems from man's fall, and it goes back to our sin against God. If you want to see a very real problem with toxins and sickness and disease, leave the West and live for a while in the third world, in an Asian or African country, where things are far more natural because of the lack of effective government regulation and the lack of modern technology. In some places, the rivers are cesspools. The air and the water supply are dangerously polluted. The food is contaminated and dangerous to eat if not properly cleaned and cooked. That's not to say there's no problem with our modern food processing and preservation techniques, and that we should blindly trust the system. It's not wrong to want to live in a healthy manner, and we know that there are natural or alternative remedies that are effective and legitimate for certain problems. But when the practice enters into the realm of the occult, it is forbidden by God's word. Occultic practices have infiltrated the Western dieting and healthcare fields through alternative health practices. we go back to 1990 in America alone, they were spending $14 billion a year on alternative health care. This was including new age practices such as meditation, touch therapy, Reiki, positive confession, guided imagery, aromatherapy, sound therapy, magnetic therapy, spiritual healing, biofeedback, reflexology, urotherapy, homeopathy, emotional freedom techniques, hypnosis, and acupuncture. And that figure has grown dramatically since then. It is now a $35 billion a year industry. And that's just in America alone. Alternative medicine has now gone mainstream. So here are some examples of techniques and practices that contain very dangerous spiritual elements that can usually be traced to idolatrous Eastern religions. There is life force energy. It's an example of an occultic philosophy that has infiltrated the medical field. Is the idea there is a metaphysical life force energy that permeates everything and flows through and or around the body and affects the health. And this is a foundational thing to the Eastern approach, which aims to manipulate the flow or balance of life energy to restore and maintain health. Another example of an occultic practice is called humours. It has invaded the field of medicine. It is based on the ancient Greek cosmology that there are four elements: fire, air, water and earth. And these have four corresponding humours in the body: cola, blood, phlegm and melancholy. And an imbalance of the humours supposedly results in sickness, and humour practitioners prescribe remedies to control and balance the humours. Then there's visualisation. Visualisation is a foundational New Age technique that is used widely in holistic health care. For example, the Taoist water method uses visualisation to dissolve energy blockages, and visualisation is a doctrine of the power of mind over matter, and that is not supported by scripture. Then there's hypnosis, another occultic practice that has invaded the healthcare field. This is an induced altered state of consciousness in which the subject becomes passive and is responsive to suggestion. The term hypnosis is from Hypnos, the Greek god of sleep, and was coined by James Braid, a 19th century British mesmerist. You were talking about that this morning, Brother Huey. Hypnosis is used widely in medicine and psychology. The American Medical Association approved the use of hypnosis way back in 1958. Courses on hypnosis are taught in many medical schools, and an estimated 20,000 medical and psychological specialists use it. Hypnosis is used in pain relief, drug and alcohol abuse treatment, weight control, birth control, sleep therapy, physical healing, psychological healing, self-improvement, human potential, regression therapy, and many other ways. When used in the field of modern healthcare, the idea is that the practice of hypnotism itself is innocent and can be divorced from its occultic associations, but this is impossible. Hypnotism arose from the field of occultism and remains intimately associated with it. The Encyclopedia of Occultism and Parapsychology says, hypnotism is no longer classed with the occultic sciences. Nevertheless, its history is inextricably interwoven with occultism. And even today, much hypnotic phenomena is classed as spiritualistic. The Encyclopedia of New Age Belief also says, historically, hypnotism is typically associated with the occultic or psychic, the one who exercises power over things or persons, such as a shaman, a magician, a witch doctor, a medium, a witch guru, or a yogi. Many support hypnotherapy because it works. But just because something works does not mean that it is right. Amen? That would be called pragmatism, wouldn't it? The magicians in Egypt were able to perform amazing feats and could even duplicate some of the divine miracles. And we see that in the book of Exodus. But even though hypnotism has been secularized and brought into the fields of healthcare and education, it is still intimately associated with the occult. Hypnosis is intimately associated with the occult, and communion with the spirit realms are forbidden in Scripture. If you'd like to turn with me to the book of Leviticus, we'll look at Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 31. Leviticus chapter 19 verse 31 says, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." The fact that hypnosis is used today by some Christian psychologists and doctors does not justify it. We live in an apostate age. An age which multitudes of professing Christians have turned their ears from the truth and have turned to fables. Instead of standing on the Bible alone as the sole authority for faith and practice, though they might give lip service to this principle, professing Christians are delving into forbidden realms and mixing truth with lies. The white of truth and the black of error have become the grey of end time compromise. Another New Age care technique that has invaded the field of healthcare is meditation. Meditation is the practice of relaxing and entering into a transcendental state of consciousness. It involves putting oneself into a hypnotic or altered state of consciousness through repeating of a mantra or focusing the mind on a single picture or mental image. And meditation is an integral part of Hinduism, Buddhism, Sufism, and pagan spirit worship. Then there's dream analysis, another New Age technique that is spreading within the field of healthcare. The idea typically is that one's dreams are a form of revelation from the realm of the unconscious, and that the individual can learn to interpret them and thus be guided by them. Now, it's true that God sometimes gave revelation by dreams in biblical times, but he also made the meaning clear in such cases. For example, the dream given to Nebuchadnezzar, and it was interpreted by Daniel. The Bible nowhere teaches us how to interpret dreams in general. The current focus on dream interpretation came from Carl Jung. He believes that dreams serve to guide the walking self to achieve wholeness. But he was a deceived man who communicated with demonic spirit guides all of his life. And dream interpretation is pure guesswork. Those who seek wisdom through dream interpretation are in great danger of being deluded. Anyway, we don't need dream revelation. We have the complete revelation of God in Scripture, which is able to make us perfect, thoroughly furnished, unto all good works. Amen. In conclusion, there is no restriction on the food that a born-again Christian can eat. We can enjoy everything that God has so graciously given us. While there are health benefits to a good diet, there are great limits to what any diet can accomplish. And anyone who promises health and vitality and longevity through any certain diet is deceiving and being deceived. I thank the Lord for modern medical science. Our lives are much healthier because of it. But the process of living is the process of dying. And aging with all of its problems is a predetermined condition brought about by the fall. Being deceived by self-appointed experts is not always an issue of intellect and education. It happens to the educated as well as the non-educated, to the experienced as well as the unexperienced. And it is easy for man to be deceived. This is a fallen world filled with spiritual darkness under the control of an angel of darkness who manifests himself as an angel of light. And the Bible warns us that the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The fallen human heart is not ultimately committed to truth. It believes what it wants to believe, and there are many motives for believing a lie. When people are sick, they can be desperate enough to try anything.